You're tuning to Sabah al-Muslim on Radio Islam International. We're joined on the line by Mirza Yawar Beg, President Yawar Beg, an Associate Specialist in Global Leadership. He speaks to us live from Hyderabad in India. Yawar, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I must make one small correction. I think all South African presenters pronounce the G like a Va. It's a Gaf, not a Rain. It is big, not big.
Oh, big. Okay, we appreciate the correction in that regard. Our international content producer, Ijaz, saw one of your tweets which stated, making mistakes is expensive, learning from mistakes is beneficial. So learn from others' mistakes. How do we take lessons from others' mistakes effectively?
Very simple, by being observant, by watching what's going on around you. There are people making mistakes all the time, and if we are willing to look at what people are doing and to learn from them, then you learn all the time. For example, you can see how people get into marriages for the wrong reasons, or they get into marriages for the right reasons and the marriage goes bad. You don't have to ruin your marriage to learn that lesson. You can look at somebody else's marriage and see what you should do or should not do. So also in education, so also in jobs, you can see somebody having a difficult time with his superior or with his subordinates, or being able to build a team or not being able to build a team, and so on. And there is learning everywhere. As long as you are observant, as long as you can conceptualize, and as long as you are willing to learn, there is... I'm not saying that you will never make a mistake, but you will obviously minimize the number of mistakes you make. And as I said, mistakes are expensive, they're painful. So ideally, if you can learn without making mistakes, that's the best situation. But one should also learn from one's mistakes, obviously. But if you can minimize the number of mistakes you make, that's so much better. So look around and learn. That's the key thing.
Now, some people are always waiting for others to make mistakes. Does this
that
help
itself
them?
Is a mistake. That is a big mistake. Others should look at them and stop waiting.
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah.
You also tweeted your reaction on Daily Vox piece on why people still vote ANC, and you said that the apartheid government bullied us and killed our grandfathers for decades, but we forgave them, but we cannot forgive one black man who made a mistake. Where is the logic in that? Elaborate on your thoughts.
Yeah, now that, first of all, is not my comment. That is the comment I quoted from the Vox article, which you can see there. It's one of the comments there. And that's not the only comment. There are many other comments which are exactly the same. And so I just quoted that comment as some evidence to show why people will still vote for the ANC. Now, I'm not telling people that they should vote or should not vote. I just quoted that comment. Now, however, as you asked me my reaction or my comment, see, this, the thing is, I graduated in political science. So I am able to see things from that perspective as well. I have been coming to South Africa. The first time I came to South Africa was 1995, just after independence. And then the next time I came was 2005. And then I have been coming to South Africa almost every year since then. I was just there last week. So what I have seen is what happens with any revolutionary party or any party that leads a revolution, which is a time of disillusionment. This seems to be almost a given, because to run a revolution, you have to sell a dream. And that dream, by definition, needs to be unrealistic. If it is not unrealistic, if it's a dream which puts down all the facts, then it's not a dream and it's not inspiring enough to get people to come out of their homes, hit the streets, fight, die in the process, because revolutions are irrigated by the blood of martyrs. And martyrs are not things that just happen. Martyrs are people who believe in a dream. They do not ask, how realistic is this dream? However, when the revolution succeeds, people then are waiting now for this dream to come true. What the revolutionary party or the leaders did not tell them was that the dream will come true, but not immediately the day after the revolution becomes successful. You cannot have your inauguration of the president, the next moment the streets are paved with gold and so on and so forth. It doesn't work like that. So therefore there is the time of disillusionment. Now what adds to that, of course, is things like corruption and so on and so forth, which also come in, because people who were oppressed till today have suddenly got hold of the resources. They are human, they are not Ambiya, they are not Malaika. So they will steal, they will do what they, whatever they think they can get out of the thing. And this happens, and obviously all of this adds to the disillusionment and so on and so forth. Now that continues. As I said, people who ran the revolution did not tell the people who were fighting that revolution that the dream will come true, but you will have to work very hard, you will have to face a lot of hardship, you will have to build a country from scratch. Usually that takes two generations, not even one generation. And therefore, which means that the people living today will not see that dream come true. But if they continue to work hard, then maybe their children will see that dream happening. All that was promised will actually happen, but it takes time. So they didn't tell them that. People are disillusioned. Then what happens is the same cycle repeats itself, believe it or not. A new party will come up and they will say, you know what, whatever they told you they will give you and they could not give you, we will give you. So they said everyone will have a job. They could not do that. We will give everyone a job. They said you will have 24 hours electricity, even though you are stealing it, even though the population has increased many fold. They said you will have 24 hours electricity. They could not give it to you, but we will give it to you. They said you will always have water, whether there is drought or no drought. Don't worry, we will give you water. Now, unfortunately, when that second party comes up and say, gives all the same dream all over again, the people don't ask this question. We say, hello, hold on a minute. The same thing we heard before, it didn't happen. How can you give it? If you are saying that you will give everybody a job, are the jobs in your pocket? Are you going to pull them out of your pocket and give it to us? How will you give jobs? One single word question which should be asked is never asked. And that one single word question is how. Tell me how. How will you give me the jobs? How will you give me the electricity? How will you give me the justice? How will you remove corruption? How will you do this? Give me a workable game plan. Nobody asks this question. So now you elect a second party. And this cycle continues until one day one of the people running that new party which comes up suddenly wakes up to the fact that this dream cannot be made true, but I don't want to lose my position. So what do? I become a dictator. Now, you don't have to look too far for this cycle to see what happened. Egypt is a classic example which just happened in front of our eyes, where Morsi came to power, the Brotherhood came to power, on promises made to rectify 50 years or more of Hosni Mubarak's oppression. What happened? When the moment they came to power, 1 week later, people said, how come the streets are not paved with gold? How come we still don't have jobs? How come we this? How come we that? And next thing we know, Morsi is gone and we have now Sisi, who is, if anything, a worse dictator than Mubarak ever was. Classic example in Uganda, classic example in other African countries. That is what I see happening also in South Africa. Obviously, South Africa has not gone that far ahead. We are still in the first stage where there is disillusionment. But somebody has got to tell the people, it is not magic. It is not magic. It is not going to happen overnight. You have to work for things to come true. Things will come true, but they do not come through like a bolt of lightning. It has to be, you have to work hard and then only it will happen. Now, this is the point that I was making, that the issue is not a question of saying, let us vote for some other party. Some other party cannot give you what ANC cannot give you. What ANC can't give you, the other party also cannot give you. However, the question is to say that we need to support the ANC to make these things come true. Now, I'm sure immediately somebody will say, well, what about Zuma? My point is, when I say support the ANC, not for a minute, those who know me will not need this explanation, but those who don't know me, not for a moment am I saying support the corruption that is there in the ANC or support whatever is going wrong. Obviously not. What I am saying is that support by being in the system. If you go out of the system, the next person is equally is in equal position, equally bad. You have to support by holding the ANC to its promises, by supporting it and saying, what about this corruption, what about the things, non-delivery of services, and so on and so forth, and make sure that these things are done. And that can be done only by participating in the political process, not by opting out. I see a lot of people opting out of the political process. That is very detrimental, and that will result in other people coming to power. I mean, I've got no love for this one or that one. As far as I'm concerned, I'm a outsider analyst, and that's what gives me perspective. Sometimes people make this comment, they say, well, you know, you don't live here, so you don't understand. And I say to them that the reason I understand is precisely because I don't live there. That perspective is a function of distance. The consultant, the analyst, understands a situation better because he's not part of the system. He's looking at it from outside. That's like the doctor who diagnoses an illness, or it's like my business consulting is based on the same thing, which is I'm not part of a business, I'm not the employee of that company, therefore I can see what is going wrong in that company. Similarly, in politics, if you are not part of that system, you can see what is going wrong. And what is going wrong is this, which is that ANC is being held to delivering the promises they made. As I told you, by definition, some of that promise has to be unrealistic. But somebody has to stand up and say, look, this is what it was, and then do what they can do. Now, obviously, nobody expects the streets to be paved with gold. But definitely, basic services, taking care of the real pain areas, which in the case of South Africa is poverty, is education, is jobs, is corruption. These have to be dealt with, and these have to be dealt with very urgently and very firmly by the ANC. Now, obviously, that is not happening. Second thing also is that in the case of South Africa, therefore now, what is the solution? I think that there are three things that are critical in South Africa to get out of this, which the ANC and the people themselves must understand. Number one is education. The education system in South Africa is puerile. It stinks. It is one of the worst education systems that you can imagine. That education system has to change. It has to be revolutionized. It has to be clearly made in such a way that it produces something worthwhile. It's really, really bad. There's a beautiful article also which just come out. Do take a look at that. Second, I'll send you a link to that, inshallah. Thing that needs to be done is to change the mindset of people from entitlement to contribution. Now, entitlement mindset, as I mentioned, is an outcome of the revolution itself, which is people feel, well, we fought, we won, so now give it to me, I'm waiting. That waiting has to go, that waiting is not real. An entitlement mindset will get you absolutely nothing except disappointment and despair. People have to understand that they have to contribute. You got to get out there, go and work and produce. That is the only way that you can eat. The only way you will harvest is if you sow and if you plant. You will not harvest by sitting and waiting for the crop to grow. Crops do not grow by themselves. Crops have to be made to grow. So therefore, the mindset has to change from entitlement to contribution. Third thing that must be done is, in South Africa, there are too many millionaires and there are too many poor people. That huge gap between the haves and the have-nots has to be reduced, and that reduction of the gap can only happen through entrepreneurship. We have to create a completely vibrant middle class, which does not exist in South Africa. And that is a terrible thing, and that is the according to me, that's the primary reason also for the rampant crime that is there in South Africa. There's so much crime. The reason for that is there are simply too many poor people. So this has to change, and that will change through entrepreneurship. How do you do that? By creating vocational education in schools. Every school must have a vocational training center attached with it, so that people come out of the school with marketable skills with which they can earn money. They don't have to go into crime, they don't have to stand in a line. South Africa has a ridiculous situation of 45% of the people, 45% of the economy, which is based on government jobs. That's completely crazy. 45% of the economy is based on government jobs. The government is the single biggest employer in the country. That is completely crazy. That is a completely unsustainable thing. Where is the government going to find the money to pay people for that? That is a design which is designed to create bureaucracy, designed to create inefficiency, and designed to fail. And that must change. People must be self-employed, and it's not the big corporations which will do that. Big corporations have failed the world over. You need to have small organized SMMEs, small and medium enterprises, all over the place, and that will only happen if people get skills. So the people must get skills through schools, which must teach a vocational training, a skill, trades, teach them skills, which are marketable skills, and then set up a department for entrepreneurship development. I'm even giving it a name. Set it up, create a fund to give seed capital to small businesses at no interest. They will pay back the money. Where to find the funds? Tax the big corporations to give you that funds. They will do that. Most big corporations are very happy to provide this because it gives them the stronger the middle class, the bigger the market for products and services. So therefore, most big corporations, if not all, will be very happy to give money for a fund like that. Sit them together and tell them, let us create a venture capital fund, and we will create a whole new generation of entrepreneurs. To do that, and believe me, all of these problems will go away. But this has to be done. This is very, very critical, and in the South African leadership must take this seriously and must do this. I'm actually writing a paper on this.
We look forward to that paper coming out. Yes, we look forward to that paper coming out and analyzing it and sharing it with the listeners and reflecting on it. We really appreciate your time this morning. Jazakumullah khair for the insight and the thought-provoking ideas that you've shared with us this morning. Jazakumullah khair, Mirza Yawar, and we look forward to chatting to you again in the future, inshallah.
Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalam.